light bulb.
It's a man, baby!
Oh, my.
Oh, snap.
Oh, yeah!
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Stand by for news.
Hey, welcome into the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective. I'm Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host. Happy to be sitting in the pilot seat again for this edition of the show. And it's looking like this may be the only one this week. So enjoy it while it lasts, because the appointments and stuff are starting to stack up and it's just, life is getting bizarre. But we're going to see if we can get one cranked out tomorrow morning. But considering that there's an appointment that got scheduled for half an hour after I usually finish, and it will take me longer than that to get there, odds are that may not happen tomorrow, but we'll see what we can do. At any rate, good morning. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope that all is well with you and that you have come to grips with the insanity that is our life in this country at times, and that you're ready to take a little dip into the pool that is life in America and the surrounding areas in the news. It's just a strange place to live sometimes. Let's see here. Looking at things that we have to talk about today, aside from the personal stuff, there's a Democrat congressman who wants to force gun owners to get rid of their assault weapons. Hopefully we can get to that story. It's kind of way down in the stack, but I hope I can get to it today because it's really important. And if I don't get to it, I promise you it'll go out in on social media and in show notes today, because you really do need to look at what this Yahoo is up to. He's doing something, I think, well, it's unconstitutional and it's dangerous. But that's the progressive left for you. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's back in the news. She's she still can't answer the question about how she's going to pay for all these wonderful things she wants to do for the United States of America. And you need to know about her socialist vision for this country. Hopefully we can dig into that a little later on. And the only reason that she is as in the news as she is today, on one side of the coin, it's shock, because right-thinking, sane, normal Americans are just shocked that anyone could get elected who sees things through that lens. And on the other side of the coin, Americans are warming up to socialism over capitalism. The polls are showing that. And we'll look at why that happens. Hopefully, we'll have the time to dig into that as well today. Steve Scalise shut down a Twitter debate on taxes with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez because some of her radical followers got really nasty with him, alluding to the Virginia shooting and saying that, yeah, he should be sniped. And before we do anything else, something I don't normally get into, it was an award show last night. The Golden Globes were on. I did not watch it. I do not watch award shows. I just don't. It's because I don't like watching unhinged liberal progressives patting each other on the back and spouting leftist ideology to a friendly crowd on television in front of all of America. And their ratings numbers actually reflect that. Not many people like that. But last night, Carol Burnett was awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award, and they named it the Carol Burnett Award for the Golden Globes. They gave her the inaugural Carol Burnett Golden Globe at the 2019 awards last night. And she said, "My thanks to the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. I'm really gobsmacked by this. Does this mean I get to accept it every year?" She's 85 now. She told the crowd that her first love was movies. Her love transformed to TV after her family got their first set when she was a teenager. And she adored any medium in which performers could make audiences laugh or cry or both. She said, "I wished or hoped that maybe someday I could have the chance to do the same." She's speaking of the Carol Burnett show. She admitted that the production cost for the 28-piece orchestra alone would be cost prohibitive today, and that a lack of risk-taking from networks would have prevented the show from ever airing if it didn't come out back when it did. Starring in a variety show that half a century later still connects with people in a way that makes me really proud. Sometimes I catch myself daydreaming about being young again and doing it all again. What we did then could not be done today. We've been granted a gift, a canvas to paint with our talent, one that can make people laugh or cry or both. This award is dedicated to all those who made my dreams come true and to all those who shared my love for television. I'm just happy our show happened when it did. And then she wrapped up by saying, I'm so glad we had this time together. And she tugged on her ear like she used to do at the end of every show. That little signal to her mom, just to say, hi, Mom, I love you. And it was great to see that she'd got an award for what she did back when television wasn't consumed with itself, or as consumed with itself, and wasn't as consumed with making the social statements it does today. And when it wasn't so consumed with its liberal, twisted view of life in the world we live in. You can still find the reruns to the show on TV if you do a little bit of searching. You can find them. You can find a lot of Carol Burnett sketch clips on YouTube. And there was some very, very, very funny stuff that happened on that show. And things that just wouldn't happen today. Because they took a chance. They did some things. They did live sketch comedy in front of an audience. They had an orchestra. They pulled off a stage show week after week in front of a live studio audience and then broadcast the results on television. And it was just wonderful. It was wonderful, warts and all. And if you're old enough to remember, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not old enough to remember, I encourage you to go look up some video of the show and see what I'm talking about. The sketches with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, the characters that were developed over the years, some of which spun off to their own TV shows, the humor that it got a little risque at times, but it never crossed the lines we cross today and was still just as funny. It was a great time for TV, and she did a great job delivering a great product for television. So I'm glad she got the award. Kudos to you, lady. Good on you. I'm happy for that. Well, moving from the sublime to the ludicrous, from Carol Burnett and her uplifting and heartwarming and funny TV show from way back when, to the reality of today and the media darling that is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and what's happening currently with her. And you know what's crazy is I'm seeing some people saying that we need to be very careful about criticizing this young woman because she is the leftist version of Donald Trump. They're saying that she is ignorant. She speaks out of turn because she doesn't know what she's talking about. She spouts things she has no clues about. And that Donald Trump does the same thing. Well, I would challenge those who think that to actually look at results and actually look at what the man has really accomplished. Not what the leftist press says he has accomplished, but what he's actually pulled off. The promises he's managed to fulfill. And the fight he's had the entire way to get things done. Because the entrenched cronies in Washington, D.C., the swamp creatures, have fought him on both sides of the aisle all the way. Well, now, U.S. Representative Steve Scalise, he's a Republican from Louisiana, abruptly halted a Twitter debate with a Democrat, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, early yesterday morning, after at least three commenters made references to the June 2017 shooting in which Scalise and three other people were shot by an unhinged, crazed, lunatic left-wing activist. One Twitter wrote, snipe his A-double-S, his backside, in support of Ocasio-Cortez. The user later denied that the post was a call for political violence, saying, yeah, not seeing any violence there, sorry, really. Snipe, as in with a rifle and bullets and shooting, snipe, there's no violence there. And they said, oh, yeah, I was just referring to verbal sniping. Sure you were. Another wrote, "She's got better aim than James Hodgkinson." That's the guy who was the sniper, by the way. Comparing her Twitter responses to the marksmanship of the sniper in the Virginia shooting. He was a Bernie Sanders supporter, by the way. And in supporting Bernie Sanders, he supported exactly what Ocasio-Cortez is selling. He died in a shootout with police later. Someone else said, "Hey, kick his cane." Well, as of late yesterday afternoon, Ocasio-Cortez had not commented on those tweets from the users, even though she has published tweets on other subjects. The anonymous comments came as multiple news outlets, without offering evidence, reported that conservatives had criticized Ocasio-Cortez for a viral video that surfaced last week showing her dancing on a rooftop while in college. In its article on the topic, Newsweek cited a single anonymous Twitter user to support its contention that conservatives were mocking Ocasio-Cortez. Prior to the Twitter comments, Scalise and Ocasio-Cortez had been debating the Democrats' proposal for enacting a tax rate of up to 70% on income. Scalise had called for letting Americans keep more of their own hard-earned money. He claimed that Democrats like Ocasio-Cortez instead wanted to tax Americans' income at higher rates in order to give it to leftist fantasy programs. But after the Twitter followers' comments appeared, Scalise opted to end the online discussion. He said, "Hi, at AOC," that's her Twitter handle, "happy to continue this debate on the floor of the People's House, but it's clearly not productive to engage here with some of your radical followers. Hashtag stay classy." Scalise's tweet appeared about 1 a.m. ET Sunday, about 2 hours after Ocasio-Cortez's late Saturday tweet, in which the newly sworn-in congresswoman claimed that Scalise didn't understand how marginal tax rates were. So this, I'm just sorry, this Twinkie, who doesn't really have a firm grip on reality itself and how the real world works, how economics function, because if you're a socialist, you don't understand economics. You just don't understand the real world of economics. She's saying that this man, who has been in office for a while, has a track record and understands the way the real world works, doesn't understand the function of marginal tax rates. She wrote, "Oh, that's right, almost forgot. GOP works for the corporate CEOs, showering themselves multi-million dollar bonuses, not the actual working people, those wages plus healthcare they're ripping off for profit." Now, see, that's a very, very socialist view of the world. And I have people in my circle of friends who believe that. And have always believed that for as long as I can remember. They've said things like, "Yeah, well, those people, that guy, those people are almost enslaved. They're working for next to nothing, and he's making a fortune. They're just making him rich, and they're not getting anything out of it." And that is a socialist mentality. And you know what? If you want to make that kind of money, then you put your name at risk. You go to the bank, and you get the loan to start the business. You employ the people. You come up with the ideas. You do the thinking, the groundwork. You take all of the risks with your name associated to it. You'll make some money if you do it right, if you're wise. But if you're not, and you're like Ocasio-Cortez and her fellow leftists, you'll fail. And then you'll blame everybody else for your failure. And this is the dealing, this is what we're dealing with today. This worldview that socialism is now acceptable in some circles, that it's a positive thing, that capitalism has failed, and it's failed because it's evil and it victimizes people. That is the view of people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders and many clueless liberals who have bought the big lie of socialism. And the big lie of socialism has been told again and again and again. And it has been bought by clueless people again and again and again. And in every instance, it has failed again and again and again. Now, people like Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez will tell you, yeah, well, look at Denmark. Look at these countries over there. And they will tell you, those countries will tell you, hey, we're not socialist. We're market-driven. There's a big difference. So even the examples they want to throw up for you as proof that what they want works, those aren't real examples. You see, it's important to know what's really going on. And these people clearly don't. More as the Daily Perspective continues after the break. You're listening to the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. Glad you're along for the ride. Thanks for being there, wherever there may be. Whether you are walking to work in Hawaii, listening sometime in the afternoon in the UK, trying to keep warm in Alaska, or wherever you may be, thanks for being there. A little coffee. Oh, my goodness. That first break is a short one. Sometimes I forget it. I grab a snack. I'm sitting there chewing, and all of a sudden, the bumper music starts playing. Yeah, I'm an idiot. It is a... we're seeing something really weird here in the lovely Southlands where I live. There's this yellow light all over the trees and stuff, and it's just odd because we've had rain for so long. This is just weird. We actually have sunshine. I don't know what's happening, but we have sunshine. And I think we should enjoy it for a few days. Maybe open some windows, let the fresh air flow through the houses, and just kind of enjoy it while it lasts, because it won't. We'll get rain again. It'll get colder again. And here in the South, when I say cold, I mean it'll get down in the 50s again for the highs of the day. And it'll get down into the, I don't know, 40s, maybe 30s at night. Because here in the South, when it's cold, it's let me tell you, my brother Bruce lives in Alaska. And he was stationed there in the Air Force at one time years ago and just loved it there because he's always been the outdoors guy. And in Alaska, you can spend every moment of every day hunting and fishing and doing whatever you want outdoors. It's just that kind of an outdoorsman's paradise. And so he fell in love with the place. And when he got discharged, as soon as he could, he moved and went back to Alaska. Everybody said, hey, you're crazy, but he loves it. And so that's where he lives. Well, one time back when he was living in Alaska in those earlier days, he came for a visit for family in the state of Alabama, where 30 is really, really cold for us. And he's staying with us at the house. And one morning I get up and he's already made a pot of coffee, but I can't find him anywhere. So I pour a cup of coffee and start poking my head around the house. Where are you? Where are you? And I finally find him standing on the front porch watching the squirrels, because we had squirrels running around the front yard and in the trees and the like. And he's standing out there sipping his cup of coffee, watching the squirrels. It's 31 degrees. He's barefoot, blue jeans, and a t-shirt, holding a cup of coffee on the front porch, leisurely watching the squirrels. And I'm like, hey, it's freezing out here. He looks at me and says, oh, this is nothing. And for him, it's nothing. He's told us the stories. Oh, the Air Force days. He's told us some incredible stories about being cold in the Air Force days and what it's like just living in Alaska. And by the way, I mentioned a few moments ago, wherever you might be listening, Alaska is one of those places. Hi to Josh. Good to have you on board there. It is it's a lovely day in our neighborhood. And we were talking before the break about socialism. Americans seem to be warming up to socialism, according to polls. Politicians calling themselves democratic socialists have made very visible gains in the past year, with the Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez joining Congress last Thursday, and then Senator Bernie Sanders becoming a party icon with the status to bring policies like Medicare for All into the mainstream. But the trend goes well beyond just these two. Polls are showing American voters across the country, in particular young people and Democrats, are warming increasingly to socialism over capitalism. The shift is a recent phenomenon and reflects a dimming view of capitalism more than anything. Back in 2010, 68% of young people, 18 to 29 years of age, said they approved of capitalism. 51% said they approved of socialism, according to Gallup. Wait a minute. How can there be a 61% to 51%? How does that work? Isn't it out of 100? Come on, Gallup, explain yourself. Fast forward, though, to August of 2018, that same age group backs socialism over capitalism. 51 to 45%. Democrats, meanwhile, were evenly split between capitalism and socialism back in 2010. But now 57% said they hold a positive view of socialism compared to with just 47% who say the same for capitalism. I will say this about that, and that is because they perceive votes. They perceive that that will get them votes. That's why. They think it's a trend, it's popular, I'll latch onto it and get reelected. That's why. Yes, that is jaded, but the thing is, it's reality. That's how it is. The trend extends to high school students, according to a YouGov poll released in November. That poll found 14 to 17-year-olds split 50-50 on whether socialism or capitalism is better. You know why that is? Because they're not told the truth in school anymore. They're not taught history. They're taught the liberal, leftist, progressive view of history. They're not taught the facts. They're taught the progressive opinion about history. No time to dig into that here. Do it yourself. You'll be very surprised and shocked at what your kids are being taught in school. Americans as a whole, however, still prefer capitalism 56% to 37%. So why the increase among some groups? Well, polling experts say Bernie Sanders' softer brand of democratic socialism has sold well among young people, partly because they have no personal memory of Soviet-style socialism. Emily Eakins, she's director of polling at the Libertarian Cato Institute, says young people today do not remember the Cold War and thus don't associate socialism with an enemy of the United States. And that's true. I'd say that's part of it. They don't remember it. That's one thing. They're not being taught about it, as I said before. That's the other. Socialism historically has been linked to the Soviet Union's history imprisoning dissident voices in gulags, food shortages, and economic stagnation. The Soviet Union went by the full name Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. That was translated into USSR. That's how we nicknamed it. Part of the increase in support for socialism may also come from differing views over the meaning of the term. Now, Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, defines socialism as government ownership of production and or the abolition of private property, in line with how the word has been used historically. Many Americans now think the word simply applies to the policies of prosperous nations with robust social safety nets like Denmark and Sweden. Bernie Sanders himself seems to have changed his view about the meaning of socialism over the years. A young Sanders once praised violent socialist governments in Cuba and Nicaragua. But during his 2016 presidential campaign, he stated, quote, "When I talk about democratic socialism, I'm not looking at Venezuela, I'm not looking at Cuba, I'm looking at countries like Denmark and Sweden." Remember what I said before the break? But Denmark's prime minister at the time contradicted Bernie Sanders. He said, "Denmark is far from a socialist planned economy. Denmark is a market economy." Since the 1980s, Denmark has in fact moved away from socialist policies. It privatized many industries, including a national phone system, an airport, and railroads, and also deregulated many sectors. You see, Denmark learned socialism doesn't work. One reason socialism doesn't work is it removes incentive for people to perform. If they can't be successful and can't benefit and can't prosper, then why perform to do so? Spokesman for Sanders and the Democratic Socialists of America didn't respond to requests for comment for this particular report, but Sanders, when describing his philosophy, has often focused on the generous government programs and relative equality in countries like Denmark. Quote, "What democratic socialism is about is saying that it is immoral and wrong that the top one-tenth of 1% in this country own almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. That's what he told CNN's Anderson Cooper in a presidential debate. "You see every other major country providing health care to all people as a right except the U.S., he added. By the way, I'll say this. Yeah, they can have their programs. To our listeners in the U.K., you know what your socialist medicine is like. You know how long you have to wait to get basic things taken care of. If you have a surgery, you know how long. You know it's clearly possible you could die before you have your surgery. You know that to be true. You also know if you live in a country, you're listening to me, the sound of my voice right now, and you live in a country that has government-run health care, single-payer health care, socialized medicine, you know that the wealthy in your country are coming to my country for their medicine. You know that to be true. They get on their planes, they come to our country, and they get their procedures done. Why is that? Because the quality of care here is light years ahead of the quality of care everywhere else. The quality of medicine in general is higher here. It's better. What's made it bad is government intrusion. Regulation, over-regulation, politicians pretending to be experts for the sake of the people and for the good of everyone, driving up the cost of medicine in this country and driving it out of reach for some. And now they want to go in and meddle some more to fix the problems that they created. And that's the pattern we see time and time and time again in America. Our problems were created by politicians seeking to solve other problems. That's why we have to pay very close attention to people like Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez when they make their claims about single-payer health care, Medicare for all, and ignore how much it will cost, and dodge the questions about how it's going to get paid for. They can't answer the questions because they don't have answers. Not answers that would satisfy rational people, at any rate. More in a moment on The Daily Perspective. You are listening to The Daily Perspective, a little slice of life, liberty, and the pursuit of absurdity. Most days it's pretty easy. I mentioned towards the top of the program today that there may not be a podcast tomorrow, and I had planned on there being one tomorrow, but not on Wednesday or the rest of the week. You may have missed it, but and I won't go into depth about this, and I won't spend a long time on it, but I'm having total knee replacement surgery on Wednesday. Excuse me. I got the notification early this morning. This has been an adventure, by the way, with the communication. Communication is something that's a word to some people and doesn't really mean anything. I'm supposed to get a phone call to let me know what time to show up at the hospital for the surgery, right? And they tell me in some of these meetings, they tell me, okay, you could be scheduled for the morning or the afternoon. And if you're scheduled in the morning, that means they'll release you the following day. If you're scheduled for the afternoon, they'll probably hold you over for another night. And it's just, you know, it depends on the surgeon's schedule. Actually, more likely his golf schedule than anything else. But I get this message early this morning that my appointment time at the hospital is 5 a.m. on Wednesday. And I told Jane, we're sitting sort of in the dark. I'm scanning my email, you know. We're sitting early, sipping our first cup of coffee in the dark this morning, early. Did I mention it was early? And it's like between 5 and 5:30 in the morning. I'm scanning my email, and I said, got to be there at 5 o'clock. And she said, oh, gosh. Because what that means 3 a.m. for us, you know, because the alarm's got to go off. You got to get showered. You got to get shaved. You got to get, you know, you got to get everything done. Then you've got the trip to the place. It's like a 40-minute trip from where we live to get to this hospital. And so it's a long haul for us. And you've got to get there not at 5 a.m. You've got to get there before 5 a.m. because your appointment time is at 5. So you need to be there, I would say, at least 15 minutes beforehand because you just don't know. You just don't know what you're going to run into. You might get there and there's nobody be at the desk. You know, you just have to be prepared, right? And in this whole adventure with this knee surgery thing, they tell you, you need to call this person. You need to ask about this. You need you should really go to this class. It'll be very helpful. You should do, and all the things they're telling you should do, you try to do, you make phone calls, and on the other end of the phone, nobody knows what you're asking about. And it's just, I've got a piece of paper with a phone number and a name that tells me in one particular thing, this thing you're supposed to go to. They call it joint camp, right? And really all that is it's a Q&A session, and they prep you for what you're about to go through, and it give you an opportunity to ask the questions that are bugging you. I want to know about this. You know, I want to know how long are you going to keep me? I want to know how soon do they get you up and get you moving around? I want to know about physical therapy and the rehab process. What's available? What's not available? And how much is it going to cost beyond insurance coverage to do this and that? And, you know, they're just things that it's an opportunity to get your questions answered. So we start with a holiday week. It was weird. You know, everybody's schedule's upside down and inside out. So in that little gap between Christmas and New Year's, didn't even bother because we knew everything was upside down. But as soon as New Year's passed, we started making phone calls, trying to get in touch with people to schedule the joint camp, and nobody knows what we're talking about. It's just weird. And so Wednesday morning, when I get up, I'm going to take my shower. I'm going to do the scrub down that they give you, the special soap and all that stuff. I'm going to make sure that I'm all cleaned up, and I'm going to take a Sharpie and I'm going to write on my right knee, not this one. Because my confidence level is diminishing by the day. I just have this horror, this nightmare of coming out from under the anesthesia and my right knee being all bandaged up because they replaced the wrong one. That's just what I'm seeing happening here. But and I said before the break, in America, we have the best health care in the world. We really do. I know we do. I have a lot of respect for the medical field. I have a lot of respect for doctors, for nurses, for the people who work in hospitals. I really, really do. But I've seen the stories. I've seen this, and now I'm the one in the middle of it. So there you go. At any rate, that's what's going on right now with little old me. So that's probably, and tomorrow morning, I scheduled something, and it turns out it got scheduled for earlier than I anticipated being happening. So I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to pull off putting a podcast together tomorrow morning unless I do it an hour earlier than I normally do, and I'll just have to look and see if that's actually feasible the way things are going, because tomorrow's going to be a crazy day, just all in all a crazy day, as all of the pieces have to fall into place, and we have to get everything finalized before we get up, you know, in the middle of the night to go to the hospital on Wednesday morning. Hey, listen, I'll just put it this way. If there's a podcast tomorrow, yay. Well, we were talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her socialism and her vision for America. She's one of the rising stars of this new Democrat-led Congress, the left's latest media darling. Lots of folks were captivated by her surprising 2018 primary victory over a longtime liberal House member, Joseph Crowley, a Democrat from New York, and her achievement of becoming, at the age of 29, the youngest woman ever elected to Congress. But make no mistake about it, despite receiving widespread positive attention from many in the press, Ocasio-Cortez's radical left-wing policy proposals and her socialist ideology present a significant threat to America's economy and its long-standing commitment to individual liberty. Individual liberty. That means you get to determine the course of your life and how things are done in your life. Ocasio-Cortez doesn't simply want to tweak our existing system. She wants to complete Barack Obama's goal of fundamentally transforming the United States of America. Do you remember that? When he stood before that crowd of people and said, "We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America." Do you remember what I've said about that? You don't transform something you love. You renovate it. You refurbish. You restore something you love. You don't transform it. And that shows everything you need to know about the progressive mentality, about the way progressives see America. They don't love it. They want to fundamentally transform it into something else. At the foundation of all of Ocasio-Cortez's reforms is her commitment to socialism, an economic system that is in its most utopian form, aims to eliminate nearly all private property and puts the collective, which in a democratic society is simply the majority of the voters, in charge of every aspect of life, including the education of your children, the extent of your rights to practice your religion, and your most important health care decisions. We were just talking about my health care decisions, right? Well, if we lived in a socialist society, I would not have a choice about how or what quality. You see, in America, you can choose. You can tell your doctor, please, use the best. Even though the insurance will only pay for this, I'm prepared. I have resources. I can pay the difference. Use the best. But in a socialist country, not only will you wait and wait and wait to get the procedure done, you don't have any say over the quality of what you get or any kind of way you handle something that's done wrong. You're helpless because the government determines everything. The majority, the collective, tells you what you're entitled to. And that's how socialism works. Ocasio-Cortez is a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, the largest socialist organization in the United States. DSA doesn't merely want to create a new government-run social programs. It desires it, in the words of a member of DSA and the editor of the socialist magazine Jacobin, to, quote, in the long run, end capitalism, end quote. On its website, DSA blames in part the globalization of capital for racism, sexism, homophobia, and environmental degradation. The free market is not responsible for any of those things. It just isn't. The abuse of the free market, the abuse of capitalism, the government control and meddling in capitalism is to blame for those things. But not capitalism and the free market itself. Socialists want to distract you and make you believe it's capitalism, the actual practice of capitalism, that's at the root of this. But it's not. It's the bastardization of capitalism that's causing these problems. Ocasio-Cortez's commitment to enacting democratic socialism is evident in many of her policy proposals, especially her plan for a Green New Deal. You've heard that a lot, right? The Green New Deal? According to a draft resolution produced by Ocasio-Cortez to create a House Climate Change Committee, the Green New Deal would eliminate nearly all fossil fuels in the United States by 2030 and instead force consumers to buy 100% of their power from renewable energy sources like wind and solar, which can cost as much as 5 times more than existing fossil fuel power generation. And they'll force you to buy electric cars. Even more disturbing, Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal includes upgrading every residential and industrial building for state-of-the-art energy efficiency, comfort, and safety. That's a plan that would cost trillions of dollars and give government access to every household in America. Let's just stop right there. There's a lot more to this article, but let's just stop right there. Your house, your home, where you and your family live, this plan would give the government the right and the authority to knock on your door and to enter and to inspect how you get your power and how it's used, and to dictate where that power comes from and how you use it. If you choose to take a route that doesn't cost as much as what they say is necessary, they would probably fine you until you are destitute. And then if you still resist, there's probably a prison sentence involved. This is the reality of socialism. More when the Daily Perspective continues. This is the Daily Perspective. Thank you so much for coming along for the ride. It's good to have you in. I was talking about socialism and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I actually got up another article pulled up about her. And I think I'm going to skip this one because, honestly, there's only so much of this Twinkie we can take. But we have to take her seriously because she represents a line of thinking that's coming up in America today that's based on a complete and total fantasy. And every time it's been tried all around the world, it's failed. We can look at Venezuela as an example. Let me get back to Venezuela in a moment, but first let me set that up by saying I have mentioned a couple of times that the people who live in progressive power centers on the coasts in L.A. and New York, these progressive hotspots, these people who want the popular vote, they believe because they're in the majority, they're right and they should have their way. They ignore the people who live in the areas that are not progressive strongholds and believe that those people are wrong. Well, the places that are not progressive strongholds are the places which are producing their food. They're producing many things that are used by the people in the progressive strongholds. And let's just put it this way. If the people in flyover country went on strike, the people in the progressive hotspots would starve because they don't grow their own food. They don't produce much of anything they wear or touch on a daily basis. So the things that they consume are produced in flyover country, by and large. So they don't think these people are important, and they want to call the shots for them because they believe they know better. Well, in Venezuela, see, we're back at Venezuela. Did you know one of the first things that happened when Chavez took over in Venezuela after the socialist revolution and they decided we were going to be a big, happy socialist family? They took the farms away. They took the ownership and the control of the farms away from the people who had run them for generations and put the control of the farms in the hands of loyal socialists. Care to guess what happened? They didn't know what they were doing, and so farm production dropped. And they initially had serious problems. They did the same thing with the oil industry. This is one reason that they're in such financial trouble today, is because they took the people with the knowledge of how the oil industry works out of control and put socialist loyalists in control. Ignorant ignoramuses, socialists loyal to the party in control, who didn't know how to handle price fluctuations and different twists and turns in the markets. And as a result, revenue fell. When the price of oil started dropping worldwide, Venezuela suffered with no fallback because of no real world experience, only socialist theories. And that's what will happen in America if people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are allowed to continue to preach their false gospel of socialism. People in flyover country will suffer. When they realize that the people in flyover country are producing everything they consume, they will find ways to coerce those people or replace those people. And because when you coerce somebody to do a job, you don't get the best product, production and quality will suffer. And when you replace those people with ignorant people who don't know how to deliver the product, the quantity of product falls off because they can't manage the amounts they have to manage. So socialism is a failure and has been everywhere it has been instituted. And in Denmark and other places that Bernie loves to refer to, they've stepped away from socialism because it doesn't work in the real world. They realize that the marketplace is where it's all working, that the free market is where it works. And they're lying to you when they tell you otherwise. So just remember that. And then it comes to how they're going to pay for what they do. They can't. They have to bankrupt the country. They have to start over again. And that's one of the goals. Go study Cloward and Piven. Just jot that down on a small child or the family pet. Cloward and Piven. Look up their philosophy and what they believe should be done. Once you understand their philosophy, their principles, you'll see it at work everywhere in our country. Everywhere liberals are in control, they're doing what they can to bankrupt systems, to overload systems so that those systems break and fail, so that their people can come in and propose their better way of doing things. And their better way of doing things, it's all Marxist. And every time it's been done, it's failed. Every time. But when they control the information outlets, you don't know these things. Which is why it's so important for you to continue listening to podcasts like this, to seek out sources of information that are not controlled by the leftist press or the liberals in control in Washington, D.C. You have to look for people telling you the truth. And you have to learn to discern, because there are fruitcakes in every corner of our society. And there are people, on the conservative side as well as on the liberal side who kind of are on the fringe. And they're more about anger than they are about reality and truth. I would encourage you, don't be angry. Don't get mad. Get right. And learn how things work. You see, in every aspect of life, there is a way things work properly. In every aspect of life. And you and I must learn the way things work. And then live our lives according to the way things work. When you do that, everything works right. The pieces fall into place. You don't have to force things to happen. If you learn how things work, life runs more smoothly. Not totally smoothly, because there will always be people trying to force things where they don't belong. But if you learn how things work, life is better. If you learn how things work and you pursue life the way it's designed to work, it just works better. I've used the illustration of customizing your car in the past. If you customize your car because you think it looked cool to do a certain thing to it, but it wasn't designed to function that way, that customization compromises the functions of the automobile, and it will never perform the same again. Even if that customization is to performance, if you don't follow through that customization in the way it should work in its entirety, then something else will fail, and eventually the failures will cascade to the point that it's completely non-functional. So if you work on cars, you know what I'm talking about. You add the turbo, you better be prepared to add some other things in order to handle the new power you've installed. You're going to have to change your fuel mix. You're going to have to do, if you don't work on cars, that just means nothing to you. But if you do work on cars, you know what I'm talking about. So when it comes to life, learn how things work, and then learn to live your life around the way things work. That harmony will go an awful long way for you, for your family, and everything. And it will help you see more clearly how the world around you is functioning and dysfunctioning. And you'll begin to understand what's so wrong with our government and all the people who say they can fix it. Hey, that's it for me today, probably for the rest of the week. I'll be on social media regardless, and I'll let you know what's happening. God bless you. We'll see you next time I'm around. Bye-bye.